being mindful, is it possible, or is it likely, or is it worth working on to be aware of what seduces you into automation while you're mindful? Like, what triggers it?
You know, it is useful, but I would probably, you know, there's nothing not useful. I mean, anything you can do. The problem is that you guys always have to get to the core of it. That's not the core. The core of the problem is forgetting. Do you understand? I don't think you're going to have a problem finding the flaw. Okay? I don't think you're going to have a problem pinpointing the source of it. Okay? The problem is that you can't maintain your consciousness on it long enough to resolve it. Do you understand? It's the forgetting part that's the problem. I think one can find the source all day long.
I don't mean find the sources and find your mindfulness. I mean while you're mindful, try to strive to be aware of the one thing that... Because when you go unconscious, you don't catch yourself going unconscious. So all of a sudden, it's been 10 minutes and you catch the...
Right.
So being mindful or work on studying what seduces you back into it, if it's even possible.
Well, I think that's fine, but that goes right back to what I just said in my whole thing, is that you have to work for 7 days just to get it out of your system. I mean, isn't that the same answer? Isn't that the same answer to your question?
Yeah, I have people and myself. I mean, I work on mindfulness, mm-hmm. and I'll work on it for days straight. And it starts to become more momentous. Obviously, 7 days, you know, it takes a lot longer than that to really go into the long stints of it. But while you're mindful, you still fall asleep all the time.
Well, but this is the ongoing strife. What did I say earlier? A journal. Have something to reflect back on and read what it says. The problem with change is that it's a lot like dreaming. In the dream, you can get a lot of information, and when you first wake up, you have it all, or a lot of it. But as the moments flicker by, it's as if it's like hairs being slowly pulled from your mind and evaporating. It's as if you lose the detail of the information that you understood. Do you understand? It evaporates. And so is the same problem with consciousness and trying to evolve or change and remaining conscious of that change. Do you see what I'm saying? So, one, I often say to somebody who dreams, write your dreams down. Write down the details. Even as you're writing, it's as if the memory is fleeting away. It's as if you can't even write fast enough. It's as if you start substituting imagination because you're trying to piece together what it is that you just understood a moment ago and you feel that you should understand. So you're trying to figure out something you've already forgotten, which means it's already polluted and not true data. Does that make sense for everybody? So what I'm saying is that to kind of do the opposite in a sense, that when you choose to work on something, make a journal of it. Make a journal of the daily successes of it and date it. And then in a month or a year, go back and read your journal and see if somehow you fell asleep on those things or that they've regrouped. And it's all about learning your own program, but sometimes in this dimension, it's better to see the layers of data that you can create for yourself. To help you, everything that you can help yourself with. Does that work?
Yeah,
that
works. Definitely.
Okay. Can you talk about compromise? And what I mean by that is getting back to optimism and pessimism. Trading natural negative thought for positive thought, you know, using your mindfulness or willpower, compromise.
Well, compromise is exactly what it is. It's you might have a set level of standards or perspective, and usually it's perspective, how you view something as it should be or you want it to be. And it is a matter of the opposite person or opposition or person who has a different perspective. Hence, There's not really a compromise, or, well, there could be a compromise, but in most cases there's not a compromise if both people are on the same path. Okay, you both are in agreement, so you both are working together for an outcome. if another person has a difference of opinion, now you have friction or confrontation, or there's going to be a challenge. Usually you have the alpha dog syndrome or whatever you want to call it. Somebody's trying to make their case and have their outcome or their win, which creates your optimism and your pessimism, and you have different scenarios potentially that can come out of that. I'm not sure exactly what your question is asking me, but...
Let me refine it, because this is something that I need you to remember, specifically regarding... changing someone, say someone is a pessimist.
Yep.
And you say, look, Joe, you need to change the way that you think about certain things. You need to compromise in certain situations.
Right.
In order to move into a more positive mindset.
Right.
I find that extremely effective, and I want you to share it with...
You know, a lot of that stuff is on the fly, and it's 101, and that's tailored and designed specifically for you, because I'm not talking to a group of you, so I'm talking to you individually. Although that information is useful for everybody. And the sum it up is basically is to say that a person who finds that they're a pessimist and is very negative in general or confrontational or not forgiving or non-bending, I would say to that person that if you want to find more peace in your life or you want to be happier, that you have to be more giving. You have to be a compromising person and say, would it be that bad to just give in a little bit even though I think that I'm absolutely right? Is it worth the argument? The argument equals a certain amount of fuel or energy from me to make or to have to project or that I hold within me that works on me emotionally. And by having that compromise, you're making that person's feel as if they've won maybe a little bit something, or maybe in so compromising to them, they're going to be more compromising to you, and you create a better unification between the two to work together to a higher intelligence, because there's more trust being built. There's better levels of saying you don't fully agree with me, but you're willing me to do it because you're willing to compromise. And so compromising is universally, I think, something very important, because it does allow growth. It does allow a tool to remove demand or pressure. It's kind of a yin-yang, or just pull back and let that person move this way if they want to come this way. Maybe it serves you still better than you think.
Okay, so in my case... negative thinker, you know, you're saying, you know, you're a pessimist, and that you were kind of, one night you gave me and George a great talk about this, and it just really stuck, and this particular time you were like, well, what you need to do, Jason, is you need to compromise. Whenever you see something and you start to think cynically, whenever you start to think negatively, you have to let that be kind of a signal in your mind to remember to compromise. And what I found myself doing was setting some kind of alarm mentally, and then at that point I would recognize what I had to do, compromise, and it sucked. It wasn't easy, but the outcome was a more positive rewiring of the brain.
Right, and that had to do with when you felt somebody was saying something or doing something that you felt very objective to, and I felt that perhaps you might be being overly objective or unreasonably objective in most people's eyes, and that this was a perspective that you had internally learned, and that you needed to learn the compromise so that you could be more at peace with yourself and realize, you know what, it's not as big of a deal as I'm allowing it to become within me. So, all right, what else?
So how would somebody who is really really pessimistic go about, because I have people like this, I have participants that are pessimistic, crappy energy, and they don't know what's wrong with them, they don't know why they're in crappy situations. To me, it's obvious. How would you go about recreating the way that they think or helping them on some level?
Well, everybody's different. And I think some people need an extreme situation, and some people you're not going to be able to help. You can't heal everybody. So the issue isn't whether they're extreme pessimists. It's the difference is you becoming exhausted because you so desperately want to help them. And this is something that I struggled for many, many, many years. And people drained me because I wanted to help them, because I thought there had to be a solution to their problem and that I should have that solution. And in many cases I do, but there is a cost of energy. And the real question is, or what it really came down to was, is that, you know, I either reserve myself and improve myself in this case so that I can help many people, you know, or I exhaust myself on the few and burn myself out, and I will have achieved far less. There has to be a point where you have to realize I've done what I can for these people. Now, having said that, each situation is unique. Each situation, some situations I may be able to listen to and give a 5-second answer and it frees them completely. Other people, it is something that is just not within their means in this lifetime, as much as they don't want to hear that, and as much as I would not want to say that because it's damning just in its concept. But you have to take in consideration, some people are biochemically depressed. And they do need to deal with it on a biochemical level. Have I or have I not said it's just like a vehicle? You are a soul that is perfect in that vehicle driving it, but if the engine is whacked, it's whacked. You can only tune it up so much, but you may have to do this or that externally to it in order to assist it. Well, you may be trying to help someone that's extremely depressed or extremely pessimistic with better fuel and better spark plugs and tune-ups and everything, but the whole time is because they're running on 5 pounds of air in their tire versus 40 pounds. You know, and that's the real reason. So you know, you have to be very careful. What I can give you for advice is that I think most people know what their problem is. If you ask a person, tell me, clear your mind right now. Just clear it, empty it all out, take a nice deep breath, in through the nose, out through the mouth. And I want you now to answer a question that I'm going to answer you, and I just want you to blurt it out as soon as I ask you. Why, what is making you so resistant? And they'll say it. 9 times out of 10, they'll say it. It's the same reason when someone goes and they marry somebody, and they end up getting divorced and they're angry, and you ask them one thing, and there's one thing I can guarantee you. You knew they were an asshole the first time you met them. What was the first thing you thought when you met them? What was the first thing? Did you think, what a nice guy? Or did you think, this guy's a real asshole? And he says, I thought he was a real asshole. And you let him win you over, didn't you? And you're like, yeah. And that's what suckered me in. They did not follow their first instincts. They did not follow their first sensory, per se. Okay? So, what I'm saying is that when it comes to people, I'm not saying it's always this simple. Remember what I say, there's no one thing for everything. So I hate it when people try to cliche me into, well, how can that be? You know, he can just say this is for everything. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that there's some general tools that you can utilize, and this is one of them that's a very good tool. You tell a person clear their mind, you ask them the question, and you ask them when their mind is clear, what is the first thing that surfaces? Usually their navigator will spit it right out. They'll know if it's their husband, they'll know if it's them and finances, they'll know if it's the house, they'll know if it's the way the furniture's set up, they'll know if it's their mother or their aunt, or it'll just come out. This is why I can't do it. They'll know. And it sounds incredibly simplistic. So sometimes the greatest truths come from the most simplistic places. One has to be very careful though, because it can also become a polluted source of information. So one can then start to say, well, I should just start thinking all my impulses are correct. Well, once you know about it, you start polluting it, because there's an I created to adapt to that situation that now you can't, not really 100% trust, unless you can learn to constantly keep your mind clear, which is a higher level of consciousness than what you're working on in general anyway. But if you're going to say as a tool to someone, all right, I want you to clear your mind, they don't even see it coming. You know what I'm saying? Clear your mind, take a deep breath, just relax, blah, 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 blah. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to tell me the first few things that come to your mind, and I don't want you to really stop to think about it. Just talk to me. What is depressing you? And they're going to say, my mother's death. Your mother died 5 years ago. I don't know, that's the first thing that came to me. Well, I'm telling you, 10 to 1, that's the problem. They would never think it in a million years, but there is an issue there that is not, they have not come to peace with. And it's in the fiber of their consciousness, in the fiber of their soul. Do you understand? So that's what you're after. You're after what are the first few things that come to mind, and what can you do to help resolve that? And what would I tell you to start to do with them? Come on, I've given you the tool. I've done the class. I would rebuild the memory that's negative and start retraining the brain for positive in order for there to be some kind of release. It's a very rapid way of working with it. It's not necessarily the best, but the point is to get them to an adjusted place to continue better work on themselves. And there's several other methods one could do. Understood?
Yeah.
But everybody knows what their problem is. The problem is the babbler. The problem is the human mind is so complex and so busy and so demanding. If you just stop it and ask it, it will surface.
So I would actually like to kind of take that somewhere with you saying, like, as far as like whenever people start looking at, like, let's say their gut reaction, right, and they start developing an eye. Mm-hmm. Developed on that gut reaction.
Keep in mind, we're talking practical tools that you can utilize with people. We're not saying you guys are psychiatrists to go in certain directions.
Well, right,
okay?
Right.
We're just saying practical tools you can use that are very useful and powerful.
Right.
All right.
But I'm saying, like, let's say, like, I mean, just to kind of like that, I mean, I have a participant that gets all these third eye experiences and all these gut feelings and stuff like
right.
that. And, you know, she really just kind of reacts to them.
Right.
And that was one of my fears, was the fact that, like, she's not really...
Okay, but then you got
to
deal with
it.
Her completely opposite.
Okay.
You've got to lower her down. You got to have her meditating on her lower chakra.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You've got to have her touching things a lot. You've got to bring her from out here, where she probably wants to go, or where whatever. But the truth is, she needs to come down
and readjust
herself, so that she can reapproach calmly. You know, it's kind of like, it's a spinning top. You've got a spinning top and you spin it, and what happens when it starts off wobbling?
It falls quickly.
What do you do? That's right, and then what do?
Spin it again.
And more than likely the second time, what are you consciously trying to make sure you don't do?
Make it go all wobbly.
That's right. You understand?
Yep.
When somebody is just, when you're feeling them just all over the place and just crazy and just what, you gotta bring them back to square one. What am I gonna say? Walk and breathe. Empty your mind. I don't want you to take any data in. I don't want you thinking about things. The second your mind starts going, I want you to put your hand right down here. Breathe in through it. I want you to spend a whole week just meditating on the logo. Don't you even think about touching the heart. Don't think about touching the brain. Just focus here, focus here, focus here. I want you to feel touching the carpet. I want you to touch trees. I want you to listen to people. I want you to use your five senses. Even somebody who has higher sensories can be so plugged into it that it's they're topsy-turvy. And you've got to re-bring them back down. And you almost got to force them sometimes. You got to be like, hey, listen to me. And once they come down, they calm down, you can readjust them, and then they can reapproach, and they're going, wow, you know, before it was just, now it just makes so much more sense. That's how I would handle it. So as I said before, each situation is unique.